We're so glad to have Brother Rick Searles with us. And I know your heart's going to be blessed and challenged. So, Brother Rick, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart today?
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Brainerd and the church for allowing me to come back. I haven't gotten any older. It just looks that way. But anyway, I appreciate the privilege to be here and to share the Word of God with you and for the fellowship and also for the hospitality that you extend to, I know, to me personally. And it's a real blessing. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to 1 John chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 1. I want to spend a little time here in the first four verses of 1 John. You know, if there's anything we need today, we need to be encouraged, don't we? A lot of things going on around us that we're not used to. But God understands all of that. And in the midst of all that darkness, He provides encouragement. And that's what John's doing here to his readers that he's writing to, and also to the church that he probably passes there in Ephesus. A lot of trials were going on there, and people were falling away. But he's just reminding them here in verse four verses of a person and also of a promise. So just 2 points this morning, a person and a promise. First one says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, thank Thee for your precious word that you preserve for us. It's inerrant, it's infallible. We can trust every jot and every tittle of it. Now, Father, just bless our time as we have come together to worship Thee and allow your Spirit to speak to us from your word. Give us ears to hear and give us a will to be obedient to what you have to say to us. Help us to be faithful until the end. And Lord, thank Thee again for each one that's here. Might they be blessed as they hear your word. In Christ's name, amen. So I've kind of titled the message this morning kind of simple. I'm kind of a simple-minded man anyway. I just titled it, A Person and a Promise, that John talks about here in these first four verses. Of course, the person that he's talking about here is found in verses 1, 2, and 3. He says in verse 1, he says, that. In verse 2, he says, that. In verse 3, he says, that. And that's the person that we want to talk about this morning, that John wrote about to encourage his people with the hope that we have in the that, whoever that person is. So he calls him right here in the first three verses, that, but not by name. And we're going to find out who that is in just a moment. And the promise is found in verses 3 and 4. And it's kind of a twofold promise. As John talks about here, how that we can have fellowship with God. Have you ever stopped and meditate upon that a little bit? How that God has provided a way for us to have fellowship with Him. He's the creator of all things. He's the sovereign. He's the redeemer. He's all in all. And He has provided a way for us, sinful, sin-sick people, to have fellowship with Him. And why would He want to have fellowship with us? He's holy. And we're transgressors. But John tells us, hey, we can't have fellowship with God. He's provided that for us. And there's great joy and great benefit in having fellowship with God. So we can keep our minds stayed upon Him. You know, we live in an hour when we need to have the full picture in front of us. It seems as though the whole world is falling apart. And guess what? It is. But guess what? That's what the Word of God has been telling us ever since it's been written. That the time is going to come when it's all going to fall apart. And guess what? It seems as though We don't know, but it seems as though the time is here, doesn't it? A lot of darkness out there. Hatred. You think about these missionaries and others being shot for their faith in Christ. The Bible predicted that. It's coming true. And so, if we don't keep the full picture in front of us, beloved, we can become discouraged. We can kind of just throw in the towel and say there's no hope. Well, we know one thing. I've made this statement before. There's no hope in dope, and there's no hope in the Pope. But our hope comes from the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope in Him. And He's coming again. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so, doesn't it? It's true. He is coming again. And that's what John is basically saying here in verses 1 through 4. Don't get discouraged. Jesus is coming again. And so if we keep that big picture in front of us, we know that from the Word of God, these and time's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better according to the Word of God. It's going to get worse. But Jesus is coming. He's going to take us out of all of this misery that we find ourselves in. So in verse 1 here, we see that John gives us a powerful introduction to that he mentions here, the very first word of verse 1. And also in verse 3, he also talks about that wonderful fellowship that God has provided for us with Him through Christ. Through that he mentions. So in verse 1, we see that John refers to Christ as the Word of Life. Look at the last part of that verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life. He's the life giver. You know, chapters 1 and 2 of 1 John, as you study them, you see that those two chapters deal with fellowship, how it's been provided for us. Chapters 3 through 5 have to do with sonship. That's our position in Christ. And you know what? Our sonship will never change. Once you're saved, you become a child of God, as John talks about there in chapter 3 and verse 1. He says this, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Boy, if you just have a few moments sometime, just get alone somewhere and begin to think about that, what God has done for us, what He has provided for us, and the benefits that are ours in Christ. We are children of God, the Almighty One, the Creator of all things. We are His child. And He hasn't forgotten us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. There are times when we feel as though, or we think He has, but He hasn't. So we got to keep our mind stayed upon Him. We know our fellowship can change, and that can change because of sin. But that doesn't change our sonship. And when we find ourselves in sin, we need to confess that, as John talks about in 1:9, and be forgiven of that and cleansed of that and restored back into fellowship again. God is such a loving God. You know, if we had to deal with ourselves and we were left alone to deal with others, we'd just cast them off, wouldn't we? If you sin, hey, away with you. But God's not that way. He's always working for us and in us. So in verses 1 through 3, we see the word that. And the word that, now get ready, this is tough. This is deep now. I don't want you to miss this. But the word that is defined by the context where it's found. I think you got that. Whether it's going to be a who, what, when, where, or why. That's how you interpret the that, by way of context. And in our context, in verses 1, 2, and 3, it is a Who? Who? And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that John is talking about here. So we are being introduced to the Creator of all things. And John says some things about him. He says, first of all, he says, that which was from the, what? From the beginning. He was from the beginning. You know, there are at least four great beginnings mentioned in the Word of God. Let's take just a moment and look at them. The first one we find, as you're familiar with, is back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And of course, that verse has to do with creation, how God created the heavens and the earth. And it's undated when he did that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word God in the Hebrew is Elohim, which has to do with the triune God. Jesus was there when the heaven and earth was created. How did he do it? How did he bring it all into existence? Well, Psalm 33, verse 6 says this, by the breath of his mouth. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now that word there speaks about utterance, speaking or saying. God, the triune God, spoke it all into existence, out of nothing. Would you like to try that this afternoon? And the first one that can do that, I'll take you to McDonald's. I got a lot of money, so I got to travel at McDonald's and Wendy's. But anyway, God did it. He spoke it all into existence, out of nothing. Then the second beginning we find in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. That has to do with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then the third one we find is in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, which reveals to us the Word who is God. You know, when you study 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, there's an old black man down south, when he introduced the book of these three books of John's, he would call him One-Eye John, Two-Eye John, and Three-Eye John. The Roman numeral, in case you can catch on to that. But anyway, that's how he would refer to them. And we see here that as you read the Gospel of John, and then you go back and read these three books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, what you're going to find is John repeats himself a lot in these three verses from the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. A wonderful study. And the fourth thing we find in this word beginning is in 1 John 1:1, which reveals the incarnation, the virgin birth, which was given to us in Matthew chapter 1. So what does John say about that there in verse 1? He said this, we heard him, we saw him with our eyes, Luke chapter 1, John chapter 1. We looked upon him, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we handled him, Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 20. So who was that? And so John, and that John is talking about? Well, he was the Word of life. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater knowledge that we need to know today than the knowledge of who God is. You know, the greatest need in the world today is the gospel. If everybody could hear the gospel and believe the gospel, the one of the gospel on the Lord Jesus Christ, things would be far different than what they are now. But a lot of people hear, but they don't receive. And consequently, that's where we are today. So how we need to be busy about getting the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to a lost and dying world. You know, On Palawan, we work with three people groups. The pastor's been to all three of them. We work with the Filipino. And then we work with the Palawanos up in the mountains. And we work with the Muslims down south. And so people ask me a lot. They say, now, Pastor, sir, what kind of message do you have for the Palawanos? What kind of message do you have for the Muslims? What kind of message do you have for the Filipinos? I mean, is it the same message or is there a different message? And the answer to that is, it's the same message. We give them the gospel. That's the only thing that's going to change your hearts. Sometimes the devil gets us to think we've got to come up with some new formula, something different than what we're doing in order for hearts to be changed. Beloved, the only message we need to give people that are not saved is the gospel. And when they first hear it, they get mad at you. Then after they hear it a while, then they get sad. And then after they get sad and get saved, then they become glad, don't they, that you stuck with it and told him about the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the one that John is describing here. It's the word of life, and it's the Lord Jesus himself. He says that of himself in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What words of encouragement John has given to these believers in a time of their trial. You know, we think the time that we live in, it's tough. It really is. It's hard. But we think back through Scripture, we think about what was the time like when the Apostle Paul was saved out witnessing for Christ. Who was on the throne? Oh, Nero. He hated Christians. He murdered Christians. So he lived in tough times also. But that did not hinder the furtherance of the gospel. They went with the authority that Christ had given them to go into all the world and preach the gospel and left the results to God. That's all we can do. That's all God asks us to do, is to be faithful to him. You know, many people saw Christ in the flesh. Few believed on him, but many did not. If you read the account through the gospels. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus personally ourselves, as John said he did, and we know he did. He handled him. He did all these things. And he leaned upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. Now, he had that privilege. We don't have that yet. So we haven't seen him in the flesh, but we will someday. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 of 1 John. So John says, I've had that privilege. The apostles, we've had that privilege. Our disciples have had that privilege. He says in verses 1 and 2, he says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So the world isn't necessarily fighting against us in our position in Christ and our testimony for him. They're warring against him, because he pointed their sin out to them. And they didn't want to hear that. But he says in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him, and we shall what? See him as he is, in his glorified body. We haven't seen him yet with a glorified body, but John did. But someday we are. Maybe today. Maybe the trumpet will blow. And we'll go up with him into heaven, that place where he is preparing for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15 encourages us with the fact that Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Yes, we're going to see Christ, who is the word of life. And that life was manifested, as he says there in verse 2 of chapter 1. And we will not only see him, we will be with him. I don't know about you, but that's shouting material. He's coming. We're going to be with him as he takes us home to the place he's preparing. So he said in verse 2, for the life was manifested, it was revealed, and John did not suppress it, nor hold it, that information back or or from the people. He let them know what he had experienced and what's going to happen in the future. He said they had seen it, they saw him, they bear witness of him, and they showed it unto us, the eternal life. Praise God for that testimony. You know, we have a great message we can share with people today. It's a message of hope. It's a message of assurance that if they come to know Christ as their Savior, they're going to see God. They're going to see the Lord Jesus. He's going to come back for them. Why was the Lord Jesus manifested? Why was he declared? Well, look in chapter 3, verse 5. He came to what? He says, and you know that he was manifested, why? To take away our sins. And in him is no sin. He came to take away our sins. And he's the only one that's able to do that. In chapter 2 and verse 2, he says this about the Lord Jesus. He says, John says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation has to do with he was our atonement. He was the one that died on the cross for our sins. He was the one who paid the penalty in his body and shed his blood for our sins so that we could be acceptable by a holy and righteous God and be guaranteed a home in heaven. And so he's the one that can present us to God the Father and be accepted by him. He is the only one. And not only was he our propitiation, but he also says he was our advocate. You know, we have an accuser. His name is the devil. And he accuses us every day before the throne when we sin. But Jesus is there representing us. When we're accused, he just shows his blood to the Father, and the Father accepts that. What a Savior. He's our advocate. He's our propitiation, some reasons why he came into the world. You know, we see that that it's the same that's in verses 1 and 2 was the Lord Jesus. And why did John feel led to describe unto us what he saw and heard? He said, so that you might have what? That you might have fellowship with him and with the Father. Man, what a benefit, what a blessing God is placing upon us in order, after we receive Christ as our Savior. You know, he talks about the fellowship with us. He talks about, man, how the apostles had fellowship with Christ, how the disciples, and we can have fellowship with the Father, the Son, with the Holy Spirit. Well, what a privilege to be a child of God. And this is one reason why we're here today. We're gathered together, aren't we, to come to worship the Lord, and to be reminded of him, what he's done for us, and who we are in him, and how he wants to work in us and through us to tell the lost about his saving grace. Men are hurting people out there. And what a privilege it is to be gathered together, as Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 tells us. You know, Pastor and I were talking, you know, live streaming has its pros and cons to it. I know when I had COVID, I had to stay home, couldn't be in the local church because I could infect other people. But once I got better, I wanted to get back in the local church to be with God's people, to sing the hymns like we sang this morning, to hear the spiritual music, to be with the brethren and talk to them face to face. And we see what's going on. It's devilish. Satan is at work, trying to hinder the church of the living God, trying to weaken it. You know, this thing of people staying home and not working anymore and getting paid for it, you know, that's satanic. That's satanic. You go back in the book of Genesis, and the curse that God put upon man was, he says, you're going to work by the sweat of your face, sweat of the brow. But you know what Satan has said through all those years? No, we're not. He's been shaking his fist in God's face for all these years. And we're not going to be obedient to you. We don't have to work. God says, yes, you will. And a man who doesn't provide for his own family is worse than a what? An infidel. So as you look around there, there's a satanic battle going on. And it's being going on very heavily here recently. You can sense it, you can feel it, and you can see it from the Word of God. And so if we're not careful, we can be depressed by it. So keep the whole picture in front of us and remember this one that John is introducing us to. That he has saved us and he has provided us a way to have fellowship with him. There's no greater place to go for fellowship than to be with him and to meditate upon him. In closing this morning, we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to whom be glory both now and forever. In chapter 2, verse 28, I want to leave you with this verse, and then we'll close. Chapter 2, verse 28, John says this. He says, and now, little children, abide in him. Abide in Christ. And that word abide has to do with to stay, to continue to remain in fellowship with him. That's where our hope comes from. And we can have right minds if it's stayed upon him. So he says, abide in him. What? That when he shall what? Appear. Is Jesus coming again? Are you sure? That's the doubt that the adversary would put into your mind. Well, maybe. I mean, look, he hasn't, all that's going on, he hasn't come back yet. No, the Word of God says he's coming. So we're to what? First, A, to abide in Christ until he comes. Second of all, be reminded that he shall appear and we may have confidence and not be what? Ashamed. At what? At his coming. So might we not be found ashamed? Might we be found faithful, fellowshipping with our Savior, allowing him to meet our every need as we yield ourselves to him. There's a lost and dying world out there whom Christ has died for. We don't know who they are, but we are to be that messenger to go out and to tell them about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation. And that everything is yea and amen in Christ. And so what a privilege it is to be able just to think upon him and the things that the apostles enjoyed while he was on this earth. You know, someday we're going to be with him. He's coming. We're going home and we're going to see him throughout all eternity. And he's going to minister to us like we can't even imagine. What a Savior. What a privilege it is to be called a son of God today. Don't ever back away from that. And praise to God that he has done all that he has for us. He's given us new life in Christ. Beloved, there's a great ministry facing us right now. So let's not miss it. Let's have our ears open to those around us, what they're saying, what they're going through. There are hurting people behind every door out there. And the only hope that they have is the Lord Jesus. The only way they can hear about him is from me or from you. We have the message. And someday we're going to see that face to face. Father, we thank thee for your love and how you encourage us. And as we fellowship with you, our joy will be made full, because our minds are thinking about thee and how lovely you are and how faithful you are and you're coming for us and the place is being prepared for us and the eternity we're going to spend with you. Oh, Father, these things that we're experiencing now are trivial compared to eternity's riches in Christ. Father, have your will and way in the lives of the ones that are here. Maybe there's someone here that's never received Christ as their Savior. They don't have hope. They don't have confidence, but they can have if they'll just receive Christ as their Savior from their sin. Now, Lord, have your will and way in the invitation. And again, we thank thee for the privilege to allow us to be together, to fellowship together with one another and with you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick. He's touched on a very important theme this morning, a person and a promise. Isn't it interesting? We love the promise aspect, but we don't want to go through the person. It's so important for us to realize that there is no promise apart from Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you're here today without the Savior, you need to turn to Him now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put off to some other time what needs to be done today.